But would you be willing to listen to me also? Would you be willing to accept literature free from me even about Islam? And the moment you extend a little pamphlet on Islam to them, they will throw their hand as if you're giving them a bomb that's about to explode in their faces. There are people also, 90, who may even be prepared to try and consider. They are more intellectually inclined. However, they are apathetic toward religion in general. They say, yes, you've got a point. Interesting.
It's a very...
No, that's interesting.
Now, that sounds fine.
But so what?
I don't want a religion really to interfere in my personal life. So they see their own vested interest as above any religion. Say, I'm willing to listen. I admire this point of Islam. I admire that. But let me live the life my own. Not understanding that religion is, after all, a commitment and a responsibility. There are people also who may not be apathetic and who might even realize the truthfulness of what you're saying. However, their national pride and overly conservative attitude may prevent them from listening to the message of Islam. And pride is the thing that drove Iblis from paradise. It's still working among many humans. Sometimes thinking of Islam as the religion of the third world, of people who are backwards, especially those who think themselves as the former masters of Muslims, they find it difficult to reconcile in their own psychology that Islam and Muslims are not necessarily one and the same, that Islam is the message of the one who created them as well as the Muslim, a universal mission to all of mankind. But that's very difficult. Not only to make that distinction, but many of them even fail to make distinction between Islam and Arabs. And many of them think that Islam and Arabs are one and the same, even though, as you all know, Arabs are perhaps 10 to 15%, about 15% of the total Muslim population, a minority. And there are more Muslim minority in India, much more than the largest Arab Muslim country. Egypt has about 50 million Muslims. The Muslim minority in India are twice as many, but they fail to understand that. They fail to understand that the largest Muslim country in the world, Indonesia, over 100, maybe 130 million Muslims are all Muslims who come from descent other than Arab descent. But these are all some of the barriers and difficulties that we might point out in the people that we address da'wah to. But let me get to the third part on this semi-final point. We have also to ask ourselves, is there any barrier within ourselves in the way we present da'wah to people? I would suggest that there are five problems at least with us. First of all, many Muslims, unfortunately, despite of their presence in very large numbers in the West, are not interested in da'wah, do not feel the importance of da'wah. Some give variety of excuses. Oh, I am only a student here for 4 years, I'm going back home. As if da'wah is a duty only on non-students. There are those who say, oh, I am only, you know, trying to make my living here, I just came to work. As if, again, material life is all that counts and that there is no other mission in our lives but to earn a living. There are people who are still so much attached to themselves, which is good. To unite Muslims is fine. But they become so ethnically centered that all that counts is contact among Muslims, forgetting again that da'wah is both. And not only da'wah is only for non-Muslims, but it's for both Muslims and non-Muslims alike. And many mosques and Islamic centers have become more just like a semi-ethnic meeting place for Muslims, rather than a place where there is constant contact with non-Muslims, inviting them, talking to them about Islam, and having da'wah committee working in each and every center, not just as an organization like UK Islamic Mission. Every center, every place should be a center for da'wah also, for non-Muslims as well. A second problem is that many of us, many Muslims, may not be totally familiar with Islam, and they fear that they must have profound knowledge of Islam before they present it to others. And they forget that the Prophet ﷺ said, بَلِّغُوا عَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ, convey from me even one single line or verse. One line, one verse. And I'm sure that there is no Muslim whatsoever, no matter how
his level of education is not able to convey one verse, to convey the basic concept of Tawheed to those who are non-Muslims. There is no excuse. You don't have to be a alim or get a degree from Al-Azhar to fulfill your da'wah to duty. And you don't throw the whole burden on the learned scholars of Islam. But each one of us has to be involved. Some people also are hesitant to make da'wah. Because one major problem among Muslims, this is a universal problem, global one, that many Muslims are not totally familiar or even sparsely familiar with what Christianity is. And when the Quran directs us to do da'wah in hikmah, in wisdom, and wisdom also means that you have to understand the beliefs and the background and thinking of those in that you are inviting to the path of Islam. And how could you make da'wah without that training? I was talking to some brothers who have been involved even in Sharia and training program in specialized schools. And I understand from them that even in the curriculum of so-called Islamic universities, still the issue of comparative religion is not given sufficient attention. How could you make da'wah effectively without this understanding? A third problem with us is the barrier of language. But even if the language can improve and we are able to communicate with others, which is a duty, by the way, when the Prophet ﷺ sent emissaries, he asked them to learn the language of people they invite. Unfortunately, we find many Muslims in the West who might have been living there for 20 and even 30 years, who don't bother to learn or try to improve their communication skill or ability, just keeping talking in their national language among themselves. How can we be more effective unless we communicate with people? And the Quran makes it clear, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. We have not sent a messenger except in the language of his own people, so that he might explain to them, show them the way. We can't do it unless we try. But even those who have the language ability might have several problems. It could be the inferiority complex in some cases. Am I, as a Muslim coming from this third world country, equipped really to invite someone who is more advanced technologically? We should never think of people or assessment of humans in terms of science or wealth or ethnic. They are our brothers in humanity, and we have the sacred duty to invite them to Islam. Let us not feel any hesitation or shyness, as some people might have, to offer Islam to others. A fourth problem is that many times, even if we have all of these qualities, we may lack the proper approach to get the message of Islam to others. Either we press too much, that as if you start talking to the person or your friend, and from the first time you want to keep at him until he says shahada. Alhamdulillah, it's a pleasant thing to have shahada and to have him, but people do not respond under this kind of pressure, a high-pitched type of self. Be patient. Give the person the time to think. Not make your approach very directive. I ask you to do this, but offer the message of Islam. If he's interested, he'll come back, he'll ask. Give him some time, and that might be more effective. When we invite people, sometimes we lack that sense of priority. We start emphasizing rituals, that if you want to become a Muslim, you have to have the beard, which is that long, you have to wear this, you have to do that, and give him a list of 613 other things to do. Makes it very difficult and impossible. That was not the approach of the Prophet ﷺ. He wanted to inculcate aqidah, even belief first, and then go on to the most important, salah, and then from there move gradually. People will come by themselves when they are committed and ask, what should I do to be a better Muslim, rather than imposing or pushing everything from the very beginning. The fifth problem, again I emphasize that, is that you cannot simply say that there is no good example on the state level or community level, but there is no good example also on the individual level. If in one country there is 1 million Muslims, then the nature of things that if at least 50% are practicing Muslims, within a span of 2-3 years there should be another 500,000 non-Muslims who come to Islam. I assure you this could happen if we had that shining example of Islam. But what percentage of the large number of Muslims in the West can really convey, depict and project that image of true Islam? But far from speaking on the pessimistic side, I began even with the optimistic part. This problem should not be a cause, really, of despair For after all, they are the foundation for what we should do, and that brings me to the final portion of the presentation, a few humble suggestions. How can we bring Islam to the masses in the West? 11 quick points. One is to be aware, first of all, of our duty to do da'wah and our responsibility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of not conveying this da'wah. To be prepared in the Day of Judgment to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when our friends in school, in college, at work, our neighbor say, "Oh Allah, I would have been guided to the truth, I was looking for it, I was yearning for it, and here is my friend or my neighbor living side by side with me for 10 years but never cared to give me even a small brochure to see if I'm interested to come back to ask him. He never mentioned anything. In some cases he was hiding his Islam." Secondly, we have to motivate ourselves and motivate each other to allocate parts of our time and effort. I'm not saying we should not be concerned about our Muslim brothers and sisters, our activities, our preserving our children and ourselves as Muslims, but to make sure that part of our duty also is to offer da'wah. Maybe reduce the time that we spend in playing cards or doing this or that or watching not so decent TV programs or listening to pop music or jazz or whatever. Maybe if we have that sense of priority, we can allocate part of our time for da'wah. We have to begin also with ourselves and improve our practice of Islam and our relations to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be the shining example. After all, Islam did not spread in the faraway places by speeches or books, but by the shining examples of merchants, of people who have been devoted to Islam that acted like a magnet that gathered people around them. Fourthly, we should not waste any opportunity with our friends or neighbors to do anything, even if you invite him to come to a certain lecture or a function where he might hear the message of Islam. Fifthly, that we should organize some function that would be geared and designed for non-Muslims, and to invite our friends to interact with them, not just in a lecture atmosphere, but of an atmosphere of courteous, loving human relationship, because that is one step also of getting them to understand what is behind that goodness and generosity and charity that Muslims shows, and to try to capitalize on their goodness. Many Muslims are not involved in da'wah because they have a negative attitude. These are kafirs, these are infidels. But if you continue to think this way, how would they come to Islam? And is it not true that among ourselves today we find many people who are classified in the past as kafirs, as infidels? This is a very negative way of thinking. And if we go back to the ayah that we started with, that the mission of the Prophet ﷺ is rahmah, mercy, not condemnation. The Prophet did not come to condemn just kafir or kufrs, but he came above all to guide them, to pray for their guidance, to help them to mend their ways with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is this attitude of love and concern for humanity rather than condemnation that should be uppermost when we start talking about da'wah. Sixthly, we have to explore the use of mass media also, like radio and TV. You might think it's impossible or difficult, but maybe not so, at least in some countries. In Canada, for example, in several places, as well as in some places also in the US, TV programs even are broadcast on a regular basis on public television, maybe within the scope of a city. And more attempts are being made also, and some places radio programs are broadcast either free of charge or at a nominal type of cost. Even if it costs a little more, maybe we should put our resources to get the mission or the message of Islam through the media. You can make all kinds of advertising but get only 500 people at most to come to a given lecture. But of course, if you even spend half as much that you spend on this publicity on some even limited city level type of radio station, you could get the message easily to tens of thousands of people. Seventhly, as individuals also, we should go beyond distribution of Islamic literature only to Muslims or Muslim organizations. And those who are in charge of publication should do their utmost to reach libraries in schools, public libraries, in universities, other book dealers even who deal with non-Muslims, to make sure that there is accessibility to books about Islam from the standpoint of Muslims. 8, we have also to initiate contact with school boards in our areas to make sure that what is written and taught about Islam, especially in social study textbooks, is corrected and that some other authentic writings would replace it. To offer teachers and school boards to have Muslim speakers to come to the classes where Islam is taught as part of the curriculum to make sure that the Muslim viewpoint is being heard. Ninthly, we have to have seminars also for da'wah, to train Muslims to do da'wah, to try to correct the deficiency in their knowledge about comparative religion or about Christian beliefs and how best one can present them and discuss them. Tenth, again to emphasize, we have to understand the background of people we invite. And this could be a whole topic by itself. Their understanding about what Islam, or how Islam views them, their understanding about Tawheed, about prophethood, revelation, there are areas of similarities and differences, some of which are rather delicate, and we need more than just cursory information, we need better training and understanding on this. And finally, to remember after all, the golden rule given in the Quran that was recited earlier, invite all to the path of Allah in wisdom and good exhortation. Wisdom includes knowing what to say, to whom should he say, at what time, in what place, and under what circumstances. I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us all aware of that sacred duty, to make us effective, and to guide the humanity that has been long yearning for the path of guidance, the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed for all mankind. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والسلام عليكم
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر لا شرفية ولا غربية
إسلامية
لا شرفية ولا